Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is. Right. Mike is gone. It's Friday morning, November 18th. Good morning, Pastor Fisk.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, your mic is gone. That is kind of odd. So it was coming through in the other mic, and I made a major radio faux pas leaving my headphones sitting far away, so that's why I didn't come back. It is His Time. This is Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, in studio with your former host, Andy Bates, and my supervisor, a nice Latin word that means one who's looking out for your good. And he's done a great job this past week and a half now, getting me used to being in studio, bringing me up to speed. Hopefully, it's not been too much of a tough transition for you, the listener out there. I know Andy's voice has that nice kind of sweet chocolate drip to it, you know. It's mine's got a little more of the edgy honey sound.
Mine's more like peanut butter in the morning.
Oh yeah, listen to that. How can you not like the sound of that voice? It's amazing on the radio.
It has been so much fun for me having you in the studio this week. You know, second week here at Worldwide KFUO, first full week on the air and in production all week. I have to say, this guy is a trooper. Studio time, back to back. You've probably been in the studio 7 hours a day.
I'd say six.
Yeah. 6 hours a day, getting ready for our holiday and things like that. So all kinds of production and producing, writing away at your desk. Running back and forth between studio and desk.
A lot of that at the desk has been, you know, trying to find guests for Cross Defense, which you got me doing now once a week. Concord Matters as well. And some of those is some of the fun of an understaffed radio meant that you were often doing things kind of as they came up, right? So oh, by the way, this afternoon you have an hour-long segment, you need a guest. It's like, oh, okay. So some of that was sending out emails, but a lot of interest from, you know, I have probably sent, I'd say 75 different emails to pastors that I know that I've networked with in my time out in the Missouri Synod, asking them to get involved with things like the lectionary study, to get involved with Cross Defense, to get involved with Concord Matters. I have, with one exception, not heard anyone say no, and the one exception was a maybe. Yeah, they're interested, and it's wonderful to KFUO worldwide. Much of the area outside of St. Louis doesn't know that we're here. They don't realize that the LCMS has this radio station. And as I talk about it, there's excitement there.
Now, you mentioned networking. You know, a lot of the pastors and others that you've networked with. For our listeners who don't know much about Pastor Jonathan Fisk, you've served, we talked a little bit about this on Faith and Family this week, but you've served in a number of places. You've been a missionary, you've been a parish pastor, you are a YouTube personality extraordinaire.
Well, within the LCMS, perhaps, yeah.
You served in a number of ways and partner with a lot of people to bring the gospel to all forms of media.
Yeah, I've certainly been through the ringer.
An author as well.
And an author, yeah. And none of it really drawn up or planned, at least the way I thought it was. I thought I would just graduate from seminary, head out, be a parish pastor, and just do that for forever. although, believe it or not, I tried to get an internship with KFUO my fourth year at the seminary with Issues, etc. I was really interested in what they were doing, and I wanted to get some education there. Sadly, at the time, that was not possible. but I didn't realize until like the week before I got here to start learning. It's like, oh, wait, I tried to do this when I was in seminary. But anyway, I got sent to be a missionary in New Jersey, and it was a tough thing as you're trying to restart a church that's already struggling, and the funding ended up not being there. Moved on to Philadelphia, where I was just your average parish pastor for about 4.5 years, but that's where I stumbled into YouTube. And this is back when Facebook's brand new. YouTube's fairly new, about 2.5 years in, 3 years in. And I ran into a guy named Phil DeFranco who had a show. He's this 23-year-old kid who's got this show. And he does the news and some humor in about 5 minutes. And he was talking about how he just kind of was looking at Larry King Live. It just had an anniversary or something like that. And how his viewership is at 200,000 or so every year. And this 23-year-old kid says, now look at the views on this video right now. 2 million. Right? And he just smiles. And he's like, he already knows it's coming. He just smiles and says, I got more than Larry King. And I'm like, wow. Why are we not out there as Lutherans, as Christians, doing something. So I started just talking into a camera, and I've since deleted the early episodes. You can't even find them. They're so bad. But I started talking into a camera about the study I was doing for the sermon that week, about some of the dogma, the doctrine I was studying. Started asking people to send in questions, ended up getting questions, and over time, Worldview Everlasting has become a full-blown nonprofit, 501c3, and we now have, just launched last week, a new edge to this, a two-hour-a-week live streaming TV. It's on YouTube. It's not on cable. 2 hours a week, 7 p.m. Central Time. We talk about all manner of things, take viewer questions, have guests, do video reviews of various Christian sermons and things that are out there. Sky's kind of the limit on that. We also produce two other programs, one called Grappling, where you have an over-the-shoulder view of a pastor teaching through a text and drawing stick figure pictures while he does it.
I've watched that.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Brian Wolfmiller, you may know his name even. I wish I'd had the idea. It was his idea. And then Lightning Cuts, a pastor up in North Dakota named Matthew Richard, just answers viewers' questions in 3 minutes or less, just trying to really give you short snippets. That all happened out of Philadelphia and has grown, but I moved on from there to be an associate pastor in Naperville for a while. I was a youth pastor, if you can call it that, but I still got to preach. I still did all the regular stuff, built a building, built a youth room, got to know a lot of kids, did a lot of higher things stuff, and then thought I'd try the soul pastor thing again, and a call came along to North Dakota, not the place I probably would have chosen to go. I'm a Southern California boy, but I thought, you know what? Why not? God has called me here. I'll do this. And I went up there, and it was going well. There was some, you know, a small town is a different place. So I was learning to adjust and getting there. And I think we would have turned that corner. I would have been real happy there. But then out of the blue, you know, I get this phone call on a Friday afternoon from this guy named Andy Bates. Hey, I'm from KFUO Radio. You ever thought about being on the radio? Yes. That's kind of my question. It's kind of downhill from there. I really thank the saints in Oaks, North Dakota, for their response to this, because I was only there a short time, and that they could have taken that really bad. But almost all of them, I asked them, tell me what you think about this call. When I got the call, I said, convince me to stay here. You know, if I'm going to stay here, I need to be convinced to stay here. They came up to me and they said, Pastor, we know that this is what you like to do. We know, or we believe, you're going to be good at this. Who are we to keep you here? And man, it makes me want to weep just talking about it. And so yeah, there's the story in a nutshell. You know, all the meeting my wife in Europe stuff, that's a whole different question.
That was a fun story, too.
It is a fun story.
So now here doing, well, something that that you enjoy doing, how do you mesh that, being a pastor and being a media personality on the air, on YouTube? I mean,
that's another really interesting question, because, you know, I always struggled with it. And you know, different people have different skill sets. And I found, even in the parish, that I was drawn to this kind of thing, the media production. And I ended up feeling guilty, because I would feel like, oh, I should be out doing something else rather than editing this YouTube video. And, you know, video editing is just from the devil, forgive me, but it really is. It is a tedious process.
10 times more difficult than audio editing.
At least. It is terrifyingly awful. We won't get into that, but I would feel guilty about it. But I was drawn. You know, I'm driven by this particular thing. It's my interest. It's what gets me excited. And when I had the call to KFUO, I was talking with another local pastor here, Adam Filipek. I know he's been on the lectionary study.
Yeah.
And he had me over because he had just taken a call to be up near where I was,
sure,
in North Dakota. And he asked me, he said, are you sure how could you live outside the parish? How are you going to survive outside the parish? I can't imagine not being in the parish. And it was refreshing to me, because it's like, oh, good. I may not be cut for this particular position in the best way. It doesn't get me excited every morning. But there's guys out there who it does, and they're good pastors. So for me personally, I kind of came to the conclusion that my vocation may be better suited for a job like this than a parish ministry, but that there are guys out there who wouldn't want to be here every day doing this. They wouldn't want to have to come up with something to say constantly and fill the airwaves. and so they would rather be doing what really is the work of the church. I mean, what we're doing here is a sort of mission support effort. It's a para-church thing. It's valuable in its own stretch, but it's not church, right? And that the guys who are going to stay in the trenches, I got utmost respect for them. And you ask, how is it? I'm just sad that I didn't seem to be cut well enough for it, that my drive came to talking into a mic.
You bring up a good point. What we do here supports that word and sacrament ministry that's happening in the local parish.
Right.
Our goal is not to, by any means, to replace that, but rather to support that,
right.
As someone who perhaps hears KFUO for the first time, hears the word of God, and they're not connected to a word in sacrament ministry, our prayer is that this drives them to connect
right.
to a local congregation and get connected to a local word and sacrament ministry. For those who are in a word and sacrament ministry, who are attending divine service regularly or Bible study
right.
in their parish, that this is that supplement that's feeding them throughout the week and bringing them back to continue to receive those good gifts of God.
And increasingly so, because with the advent of the technology that we have with the internet and podcasting, which if you don't know what that is, you're just an AM radio listener. Podcasting would be we take what we're doing here, we rebroadcast it as a bite, an hour-long bite on the internet that someone can put on their phone and take wherever they want, listen to whenever they want. You know, there are these farmers that I was serving in North Dakota. They would spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day out in this this tractor mm-hmm. during harvest season, and they're listening to talk radio. They didn't even know this kind of stuff existed. So I'm like, guys, just put some issues, et cetera, on your phone. Just please. You need something else in your ear to feed you, to counter what's being told to you by the world. It's not that the news stations are entirely lying about everything, but they're not giving you spiritual food and spiritual fulfillment. They're not pointing you back to the source of your hope and life in Christ. And so to be able to do that now, to be able to take these kinds of podcasts, I was also putting them on little speakers that I was taking to the shut-ins along with the services from the church that we'd record. There's so much now that we can do to support the ministry, right? Not to replace it, but to support the ministry so that Christians have a voice for Christianity in their heads and in their ears, in their lives, countering that catechism of the world, right? Which is the echo of their the world's hope in itself. Huh?
To the accessibility of through technology today, the accessibility to God's word and teaching on God's word is, as you pointed out, you're in a tractor all day. You're out on farm
right.
equipment all day. You can listen to great studies of
right.
God's word. You can listen to encouraging conversation that makes you really think about God's
right.
word.
Right.
To download a podcast of Cross Defense.
Right.
To download the podcast of the Daily Lectionary Study
right.
here on His Time and or Thy Strong Word.
And if we're not doing this kind of work as church, this is why KFUO is worth supporting and, you know, why Worldview Everlasting is worth supporting, why Issues, Etc. is worth supporting. If we're not doing this, there are other groups out there that will, who may not have the agenda be giving you Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Their agenda may be their own pocketbooks or some twisted view of the Holy Spirit that's going to try to promise you if you do this, everything's going to get better. There are others out there, false teachers out there, that are using this media. And so if we go silent, if we say, nope, we can't do this, then we're ceding to them the platform for conversion. And so that's why this work is tremendously valuable. It's why I'm driven by it and to it. And again, I don't mind personally not having to go to a church council meeting tonight once I get done here. But I want to overemphasize and reemphasize that the real work of the church at the end of the day, though, is that pastor who is in your life with you, giving you these words that we're giving you now too, but giving them when you're in your darkest moments, when you're at the bedside of the dying family member, when you're in your bringing your child for baptism, right? That individual who stands in the set of by the command of Christ and absolves you of your sins, feeds you the Lord's Supper. That work is what the church lives on and breathes from. And if there are any of you guys out there, pastors that are out there, we're here to support you. I'm here to support you. Let me know what I can do for you, you know, what kind of content you're looking for as well. Please, obviously, Rally Week, I guess, consider joining with us as well to keep this stuff going.
If your pastor doesn't know about KFUO, today's a good day to tell him about KFUO.
Yeah, if your pastor doesn't know about KFUO, did he go to seminary? I mean, really?
Well, today's a good day to tell him about it and something else you could do, which would be a really nice gift. You could become a day sponsor and that day in honor of or in thanks to God for your pastor who brings those gifts.
Along with a nice $50 gift certificate for him to spend somewhere else. absolutely. I wouldn't want to. My only thing is don't leave the pastor out without, hey, look, I gave you this really nice thing to somebody else. But by all means, honoring him, we would mention his name. We would talk about his ministry. We would thank God for him, pray for him on air. And it is a wonderful idea as well.
Absolutely. To do that, to become a day sponsor, you can call Joni 314-996-1512 or Pastor Mark Hawkinson 314-996-1520.
So with like just a few minutes left here, can I talk about, I want to talk about a news story at McLeans.ca that came out today, and it is an exclusive, it's covering an exclusive, remarkable study done that has found that Protestant churches that focus on the gospel and prayer are growing, while those that don't are in decline. The last 50 years of American Christianity has seen a lot of effort to quote-unquote save the church or to grow the church with all these, they call them now best practices, they used to call them new measures back in the day, ways to get more people in the pews. And strangely, these things are not usually more Bible, more Jesus, more hymns. They're usually getting away from that. And yet now we're finding, you know, after decades of this, that the churches that have put these things into practice, you have a couple of mega churches in every town, but by and large, the average congregation is declining if they're doing this. And yet in places where the churches have vanished, particularly in the cities, in the inner cities, there is a burgeoning, reviving, growing community where you do find the gospel preached. And that you can study this now and see, look, if you want people to come to your church, you better give them something worth believing in, right? They're ultimately not going to be entirely enticed by believing in getting more people to church, right? That's not a reason to come. But they're going to be enticed by believing that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and that this changes everything and that you as a poor, miserable sinner stand before him forgiven. Given because of that, looking forward to this new life to come. So you can check that story out if you go to, again, McLeans.ca and look for the story. It has risen. Is this the key to growing Protestant churches? Hey, is Jesus and the gospel the key to growing Protestant churches?
It's just like, your character voices.
Yeah. Do we have to like ask the question? Anyway, this is his time. We'll be back in a few moments with the lectionary study talking about Jesus' death, his crucifixion. We'll see you in a minute.